Hi there. There is a difference between someone who is born again and someone who, after having been born again, is growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. For example, many people are believers who have been born again. You have to be born again to be even considered a believer. Many who are born again have not grown in grace, and their behavior deviates from what the instructions in righteousness tell us that it should be. They're not ordering their behavior as becometh holiness. Not that their behavior makes them any holier, because you're holy not by behavior, remember, but you're made holy by the new birth. That's when Christ Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, was born into our hearts by faith. Because that's the only holiness we can have or lay claim to. We have no human holiness. Human holiness is a false holiness and is not acceptable unto God. The only holiness there is that which is created after God in righteousness and in true holiness, which is the new creation, which is Jesus Christ being born into our hearts by faith. That's the only holiness that a Christian can have. We're not holy by our behavior. We're holy because of our Savior. We must remember that. Nevertheless, many Christians do not have the distinction, or have not in their mind come to the realization, that there is a difference between being born again and someone who, after having been born again, is growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. For example, you and I may know many people who have experienced the new birth. They are born again Christians. However, their behavior is not, you could not tell that they were a Christian by their behavior. You couldn't even tell that they were religious by their behavior. And as a matter of fact, I want to set this issue straight. There is no way that a person, by observing your behavior, can tell that you're a Christian. Because any action or any behavior that you can duplicate in your flesh, a sinner can do the same thing. They can go to church, they can pray, they can turn the other cheek, they can be just as philanthropic, they can give to ministries, and many do. Many do. A Christian is not known by their behavior. You cannot tell a Christian, or if someone's a Christian, by their behavior. Because Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, Hare Krishnas, many people and many religions believe in good behavior. But remember, we're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by behavior. We're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by our behavior. Someone will say, well, you'll know them by their fruits. The fruits that you'll know them by are invisible fruits. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. You have your fruit unto holiness and you have everlasting life if you are a Christian. Because Jesus Christ is your fruit unto holiness, because he's the only holiness that you have, because he's the only part of you that does not commit sin. He is the only part of you that cannot commit sin, because he is born of God. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God does not and cannot commit sin. In other words, there's not a question if they will sin or if they won't sin. The Bible says that whosoever is born of God does not and cannot, absolute, cannot is an absolute, cannot commit sin. So if we look at everyone from the pastor on down, or from the pope on down, or whoever, we know that we all commit sins. Therefore, we know that there is a part of us that is sinful. It's our fleshly nature. It serves the law of sin diligently. It serves the law of sin willfully. And if you are in the flesh, which means if you have not the Spirit of Christ in you, for Romans 8:9 says that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ in him, he is none of him. And we are in the Spirit because the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, not because we read the Bible and pray every day, not because we do good unto our neighbor, not because we love one another and keep his commandments. We are in the Spirit because the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. That's the only qualification that the Bible gives for being in the Spirit. Since the day you were born again, you have been in the spirit. You have never been in the flesh. Though the flesh and the motions of the flesh are in operations in your flesh, you are no longer a part of your flesh nature, but you're a part of the divine nature, the nature which was born into your heart by faith, the nature which is after God, created in righteousness and in true holiness, the nature which cannot commit sin because it is born of God. It happens to be Christ in you, the hope of glory, the inward man of the heart, this new creation. He feeds upon the word of God. And once the new birth experience has taken place, there is no radical change in your personality. The new birth experience does not produce radical changes in your personality. Number one, because you still have a carnal mind, which is still at enmity against the word of God and at enmity against God, and it fights against God. Once the new birth takes place, what happens at that moment is that now you have a divine nature inhabiting your physical body along with your fleshly nature, which serves the law of sin. I repeat, once the new birth experience has taken place, and the new birth is not you undergoing some radical change in your personality, the new birth is Jesus Christ being born into your heart by faith. He is in there as the new man. Well, he's occupying the territory now that the old man once had. And the old man lusts against this new man and fights against him. And the new man, the Christ in you, fights against the flesh. These are two natures in you, warring one against the other so that you cannot do the things which you would. And if you are a born-again Christian, you must know this distinction. Many people have been born again, whether they were born again at a Petra concert, whether they were born again just watching Billy Graham's crusade on television, or they were born again going down the highway and listening to Christian radio and believed that Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose again. At that moment, the doctrine of the grace of God says that Christ was born into their hearts by faith, giving them a new life. Our new life is not life in the flesh, going around walking on this earth. Our new life is a new life. It is eternal life. It is the eternally holy life of Jesus Christ. Our new life is Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ himself said that I am the life. He is the only eternal life there is. He is the only eternally holy life that we have. He is the only life that we can lay claim to. It's his life. The Bible says that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. It's the Christ in us that was born of God that does not commit sin. He's the inward man of our heart, wrestling and warring against the fleshly nature which we have inherited from Adam, which serves the law of sin. If you've noticed little babies, you don't have to teach them how to steal. You don't have to teach them how to curse. You don't have to teach them anything. They do it naturally. They'll tell you, I don't like you. I don't like you anymore. You're not my friend. You don't have to teach them how to steal. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. They do this instinctively because they have inherited this sinful nature from Adam. You have to teach them how to be good. And this is by training. They are still in your family. They might be a little baby still in your family, but they are a brat. Maybe. They might be a brat because they have not had instructions. And that's how many Christians are today. Yes, they've been born again. And that's the only qualification that qualifies you as a Christian. You are born a Christian. You don't act a Christian. You don't behave until you become a Christian. You are born a Christian. When Christ was born into your heart, that's the only Christian part of you that you have. The rest of the part is going into the grave because it must inherit the wages of sin. I ask all the time, is there sin in the born-again believer's life? And the answer is absolutely no. You have not one taint of sin in your life because the Bible says in Colossians 3:4 that Jesus Christ is the born-again believer's life. Now, is there sin in his fleshly nature? Yes. There is sin in our flesh. Our flesh continues to serve the law of sin even though we don't act upon all of its impulses. Now, the key issue that I want to reiterate here is that once that the new birth experience, which is Jesus Christ being born into your heart by faith, when you believe the gospel, which is that God sent his son to die for your sins, and he rose from the dead after he did that job. Once you believe that Jesus Christ became your Savior because he died for your sins and rose again, then you have eternal life abiding in you. However, there might not be any radical changes in your personality because just as a baby born into this world, you have to get your mind renewed. The baby was born out of a womb. All he knew was womb instincts. You were born out of sin. You were taken out of sin. Your soul was dead in trespasses and sins. All it knows was his carnal mind, which is at enmity against God all the time. And that mind must be renewed by the washing of the water of the word. The carnal mind must be set aside, and the mind of Christ is now in this new creation. But you must feed it and feed upon it. Feed it with the word of God, and let this mind dwell in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, then you will have a hard time in this life. For the Bible gives us instructions in righteousness. After you have received the new birth, the Bible says we're to grow in grace. Well, how do you do that? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It says, add to your knowledge temperance, and unto your temperance patience, and unto your patience godliness, and unto your godliness brotherly kindness, and unto your brotherly kindness, brotherly love and charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, and cannot see afar off that he was purged from all of his old sins. Why did it say you're purged from your old sins? Because right now, the God the Father in heaven, our Father, by the new birth, is not charging one sin against any born-again believer. Because in the book of Romans it says that sin is not imputed or charged against you where there is no law. And the Bible says that we are not under the law, but under grace. Now many people, they call them greasy gracers. They say, well, since I'm under grace, I'll go and do anything my flesh desires. I have liberty in the flesh. Wrong. You have liberty in the spirit. Liberty to go before the Holy of Holies with boldness, with access and boldness before the throne of Jehovah God, and ask him for grace to help you in your time of need. Why do you need grace? Grace is the building element of all Christians. The Bible says that we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Because when we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, there will be changes in our personality. There will be radical changes in our personality. For the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, what does the Bible says? That the grace of God is a teacher. The grace of God will teach you how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and how you should live soberly, righteously, and godliness and godly in this present world, looking forward to the blessed hope. The grace of God is to teach us how to live in this world. The grace of God is not to be used for lasciviousness, which is just using grace as a cloak for sin. That since I'm under grace, I can go out and do anything I want to do. That provision is not given unto you. The grace of God has never liberated your flesh to go out and do what it wants to do. You can go out and do what you want to do, but you will suffer the consequences. For instance, there can be Christians with AIDS. There can be Christians on drugs. There can be Christians as alcoholics. There are Christians in many traps of sins because they did not learn how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The Bible tells us concerning liquor that wine is a mocker. If you're not listening to the instructions in righteousness, then you might get caught up in the snare of liquor. All these things are snares which are designed to take you from the Word of God. And as Christians, when we see people who have been born again in these snares, what does the Bible instruct us to do? Well, the Bible gives us very definite instructions of what to do to people who are overtaken in faults. For instance, our instructions are given in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 15, pardon me. It says, do not count those people as enemies, but warn them as a brother. Again, it says, do not count those people as enemies, those people who are not growing in grace, but warn them as a brother. For they are still your brother in Christ, but they are babes in Christ. And they are still fussing and striving with one another. They're carnal Christians. They are carnal. And their lifestyle is a lifestyle of death in the flesh. They are carnal. They are still your brother. They're just as saved as you are, because salvation is not hinged upon your behavior or your activities. Salvation is hinged upon you believing the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again. So don't say that that person was never born again, because they were born again. The new birth is Jesus Christ being born into their heart. Their life of Christ abides in life, but their flesh abides in death. Our fleshly nature abides in death. And they have not used the life of Christ to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus by adding unto their faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, kindness, patience, and all these things that are the fruits of the Spirit. So we are to encourage them and admonish them and to warn them that they are not following the instructions in righteousness. So I trust that you will admonish others, and you yourself will grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for the grace of God teaches us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and how to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Again, there's a difference between being born again and growing in grace.
I'm James.
Says, have you heard the good news?